Acts chapter 8 is our text today. And at least going to read to you Acts 8, verses 4 through 17. If you're using your Pew Bible, that's on page 1262. Very much encourage you to follow along and have your Bible open.
Acts chapter 8, 4 through 17. Therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. And the multitudes, with one accord, heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. And there was great joy in the city. And there was a certain man called Simon who previously practiced sorcery in the city and astonished the people of Samaria, claiming that he was someone great, to whom they all have heed from the least to the greatest, saying, "This man is the great power of God." And they heeded him because he had astonished them with his sorceries for a long time. But then they believed Philip, as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. Both men and women were baptized. Then Simon himself also believed, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip, and he was amazed, seeing the miracles and signs which were done. Now, when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who then they had come down, prayed for them, that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet he had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit.
Gracious Father, we bless your name, and we thank you, Lord, for the wonderful saving work that you have done both in old times and up to this day. And we ask you now, Lord, as we consider this episode, that you would teach us out of your word and cause us to know you better and to have wisdom for living in the light of the gospel. We pray in Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, so this morning we're going to look at the first incidence of the gospel being preached to people other than Jews. All right, these are Samaritans. Who are the Samaritans? Ethnically, they are a mixed ancestry people. They're part Jewish and part Gentile. The Gentile part of their ancestry were transported into the territory of the Promised Land several centuries earlier by the emperors of Assyria and to a lesser extent Babylon. But as those kings and conquerors made their respective conquests of the Middle East and defeated various tribes and nations that they encountered, often their practice was to displace their captives from their various native lands. Now, in Israel's case, that's what we call the Assyrian captivity. And then later on, there's the Babylonian exile, where the conquerors deported most of the natives away from their various homelands, and then they planted the Israelites off in Mesopotamia and other places, and then they imported other conquered people into the cities of Israel and put them there. And basically that's a way of homogenizing the population, and it's a way of quenching feelings of like patriotism and nationalism, and kind of helps keep the peace, right, as people's links to their homelands are severed. So what you read about in the book of Kings is that these various Gentile populations were, I guess to use a modern word, they were like, if you like, bust into the cities of Israel and planted there, mostly the northern and central cities, and took up residence there and then commingled with the people who are left. So 2 Kings says this, however, each of these nations continued to make its own gods and put their gods in the shrines which were in the high places in Israel, each nation in the cities in which they dwelt. So it gives you a few examples. The men of Babylon made Sukkoth-Benoth. I guess that's one of their gods. The men of Cuth made Nergal. I know that's a god. The men of Hamath made Ashima, I think that's a goddess, and so on. So this gives you a few more examples. It says, they feared the Lord, and from every class they appointed priests for the high places and the shrines and made sacrifices to the Lord. They feared the Lord, but they served their own gods and carved images according to the rituals of their respective homelands, and their children and their children have continued doing so down to this day. That's in 2 Kings. So what you see is that the Samaritans are not just ethnically a mix of Jewish and Gentile, but religiously as well, right? They had some contact with the name of Jehovah, some exposure to the remnants of true religion that managed to survive in Israel, but for the most part, they followed the practices of their pagan gods and deities that they brought with them. What we see in Acts 8 is, you have a people who, as we say today, well, they believe in God, right? You see in verse 10 where it says that this man is the great power of God, right? They believe there's a God, but they're ignorant of the real nature of God. And they're also still under the power of various superstitions and sorceries. Now, as a tribe, and there still are Samaritans today that still practice this, a few hundred, the Samaritans did hold to a kind of biblical religion. They accepted the 5 books of Moses with a few changes, but not the rest of the Old Testament. They had built their own temple in a different location on a different mountain. They had their own priesthood, which they claimed was descended from Aaron. They kept Passover. Okay, so there are certain Jewish things that they do, right? And the common people would have some contact with the sort of quasi-Israelite religion. But as we see here, in actual practice, they're more directly led by these sort of darker practices. So I'll call your attention back to verse 9 again. Right, there was a certain man called Simon who practiced sorcery in the city and astonished the people of Samaria, claiming that he was someone great. And they all gave heed to him, from the least to the greatest, saying, "This man is the great power of God." And they heeded him because he had astonished him. Them with his sorceries for a long time. So the first thing I want you to be sure that you don't miss is that dark, unclean spirit powers are present in the world and active. Okay, they are not merely the stuff of horror movies and medieval tales. Right, there does exist an unseen realm. Right, the world that we can measure and touch is not all there is, right? God, of course, is a spirit, isn't he, right? That's beyond doubt. There's a holy spirit, right? Angels, the Bible tells us, are ministering spirits. They're servants of God, right? Or sometimes messengers of God. That's what angel means. It means messenger, right? So we need to be aware, Christians, that there are also unholy spirits at work. There are deceptive spirits, dark and destructive spirits, which by their influences exercise dominion over people and tribes and cultures. Think about the world before the gospel light went out in abroad into the world. There was only really a very limited knowledge of anything remotely resembling the truth. Right? Instead, in every place, people are under the shadow of various superstitions and paganism. Okay, people consulted their magicians and witch doctors and star readers and necromancers, and you know, they're looking for omens and signs, and they conjured spells and pronounced curses. They prayed to their ancestors and various spirits for blessings or for luck. And something that we have to be aware of is that these dark powers do actually have some power, right? They're not totally impotent. They're not just bystanders, uninvolved bystanders. You know, today when you hear the word magic, you think of a guy on stage doing like a card trick or something, and you know, even if the trick is amazing, you know it's somehow like there's a sleight of hand, you know, there's some misdirection or whatever, smoke and mirrors type thing. There's a perfectly scientific explanation for how this trick works. And so when we think of like fortune tellers and people who conduct seances and things, people who use like Ouija boards and stuff, you naturally think that there's also some kind of like silly trick to this. It's all fake. But don't be fooled into thinking that all phenomena can be explained by physical causes alone. Somebody famously said that the devil's cleverest trick was making men believe that he doesn't exist. That's a pretty good trick, right? So that people who fancy themselves to be scientific and intelligent say, well, it's all fake. You know, it's all just the power of suggestion. You know, there is some scientific explanation to it. Well, the evil one does exist, and he and his unclean spirits are most certainly present and active in the world. Otherwise, I mean, look at the human race. It is impossible otherwise, I think, to explain the way the human race is and what it's become. Right? How do you explain war? How do you explain, okay, not just selfishness, but the way the world is so twisted? Why is there cruelty? Why is there so much degeneration and perversion? Man's inhumanity to man, right? The only explanation is that the world lies under the sway of the wicked one, like the scripture says. His influence was present in Samaria, and it's present now. So that's the first thing I want you to be well aware of. Second thing is to notice how closely today's population resembles Samaritans. It's a mix, right? It's a mashup of some biblical knowledge and some, mostly, pagan superstition. That describes a great many Americans, right? People believe in God. They will ask you to say a prayer for them. They generally understand that people go to heaven or hell, as the case may be. They might say they have a soul. They might say they've encountered an angel. They know these references in our founding documents to being endowed by the Creator with inalienable rights. It's one nation under God and so on. They know tidbits from the Bible, like an eye for an eye. Money's the root of all evil. The meek shall inherit the earth. Like, don't judge, of course. Having a cross to bear, these sorts of things. Like, they have these tidbits from the Bible. But in spite of that sort of quasi-Christian environment, in actual practice, people turn to and trust in other powers, right? In their search for happiness or search for fulfillment or search for answers, they're under the influence of many deceptive spirits, right? There are many Simons, okay? So they'll turn to the talk shows. They go to therapists. They turn to prescriptions, psychoactive drugs. They try meditation, focus exercises, yoga. You go to the store and you can buy charms and you can buy crystals and copper bracelets and magnets and, you know, things that supposedly channel your energy or whatever. People like dream catchers and wind chimes and candles and aromatherapy and Egyptian things are popular and Gaelic things are popular and American Indian things, charms and so on, and ancient Hebrew, you know, all these things have sort of an allure to people, right? Secret meanings of names and mystical numbers and codes and symbols and, you know, black makeup and whatever, okay? There are plenty of Simon the Sorcerer types showing people something fascinating, right, and captivating them and attracting them and telling them how you can, whatever, discover your true self, learn how to live on a higher plane of existence and how to cleanse and purge and how to self-actualize and tell you alter your body and alter your image and alter your luck and so on. And listen, it's not all smoke and mirrors, right? Sometimes people get like actual results out of these things. Is it all just silly illusion? It's not necessarily. Okay, you're dealing in a realm where there exist certain powers. Okay, they paid heed to Simon because for a long time he had fascinated them with his sorceries. So maybe he's a fortune teller You know, he can read signs in your hand or signs in the clouds or, you know, give you a potion, you know, here, put this under your tongue. The thing is, he must have gotten some kind of results. Otherwise, why would people listen to him? You know, why would they follow him? He dealt in the spirit realm, and the spirits that exist in that realm have some power to manipulate and move and maybe even impart some kind of short-term benefit. And so people say, that worked for me, right? My psychic said X, and X came true. And I don't know how he could have known that. He must have some kind of insight, right? People take psychotropic drugs, and they say, that worked for me. My life is so much better, you know. I'm so much freer now that I dumped my husband and ditched my housework and became the liberated woman I was meant to be. You know, I'm so glad I listened to my favorite TV show character, right? People are taking life advice off of the television. Okay, and so this is what I mean when I say people are like Samaritans. There's like a thread of religion in the background, but what they actually live by are these deceptive words that come to them from other voices that fascinate them. Not the least of which is through entertainment, right? Your favorite musicians, favorite movies, TV characters, and so on. And now also in school. You know, at school, you know that school has just about given up on educating children and has started indoctrinating them with deceptions about, well, here's who you can be, here's who you are, here's what's trendy, here's what'll make you happy. And children pay heed to these voices, not knowing that they're being misled, they're being controlled and manipulated by, okay, not just people, but the spiritual forces behind those people, unclean spiritual forces. And I've said before that the thing about deception is it appears to be true, right? If you knew it was a lie, well, then nobody would follow it, right? But deceptive spirits always appear as something good, something valid, something beneficial. So a phrase like, discover your true inner self, well, that's what I want to do. I want to discover my true inner self. Well, how do I do that? Well, here, expand your mind with this. Take this. You know, calm your anxiety with this. You know, elevate your soul. They tell you to balance your chi. They tell you to gain good karma, you know, and it's all ignorance and paganism. Nevertheless, you will come across people who say, for example, ever since I started practicing Zen, I've never felt better. I have such peace, right? You'll have other people who say, ever since I started praying the rosary, I've never felt better. I have such peace. I've been trying these new, okay, my therapist recommended these new mindfulness techniques. I think they really work. And to most people, that's all that matters is pragmatism. Does it work? Right? And if it works for me, if I feel something, then it's legitimate. Right? Simon has convinced all these Samaritans by his sorceries, he's somebody great. He's the great power of God. He's the real deal. He's a professional, right? So we listen to him. But it's misleading. Right? It's a delusion. It's a happy delusion, but it's still a delusion. In the end, you're still outside of the knowledge of God. Okay? You quite possibly had a spiritual experience, right? I won't deny you could have had a spiritual experience, but it was a lying spirit. It was a spirit that hid the knowledge of God from you. And when your day comes to die, it can't save you, right? People who do meditation or Tai Chi or LSD or, you know, they travel to Stonehenge hoping to have some kind of an experience, right? Maybe they actually have something happen to them, but that's beside the point whether something actually happened to them. The point is they never came to know the God, the one God who made the heavens and the earth. And the lying spirits have left them in the end with nothing. Okay? And I think that is where many of our neighbors and our countrymen are headed, because they go following some trend, some man or woman who acts like they know something. Maybe they know something, but what they know can't save. It can fascinate, but it can't save. So the third thing to see here is, what a difference between that kind of life and the gospel, right? Between those who mislead and those who preach God's word accurately and simply. Okay, it's the difference between darkness and light, right? The people who are walking in darkness, they've seen a great light, right? Philip comes preaching not himself as somebody great. He's a bearer of good news, what God has done, right? This isn't something mysterious and, you know, secret words and auras emanating from people and spells and breathing techniques and, you know, examining chicken bones and looking for signs on your palm and things like that, right? This is broad daylight. Okay, these things happen right out in the open. Jesus Christ, the man from Nazareth, God sends you life in his name. God has fulfilled his promise of a prince and a savior. He sent his son full of grace and truth. He made his life a sin offering to cover your sins and mine so that we can be reconciled to God. They killed him in Jerusalem by hanging him on a cross, and they buried him, but God raised him from the dead, and we're witnesses of it. Right? God has revealed his power openly to us. I have news, right? He calls you into his kingdom. And my friends, what it means for you, the love of the true and living God poured out into your hearts. And it's free. I didn't come here to get your money. I didn't come here to put on a show and wow you with my tricks and my ability. I didn't come here to sell you any magic pills. I have news. God is saving. And there's no tricks, there's no fees, there's no secret incantations to learn. The grace of God has come to the world. It's the power of resurrection. God is beginning his new creation. Okay, and so you see Philip worked miracles there, but they're not like the things that Simon did. Okay, these are manifestations of God's holiness and his recreative, life-giving power. Right? He's restoring the lame and the crippled. He's bringing life to dead limbs and sight to blind eyes. He's driving out unclean spirits, right? Freeing the tormented from their spiritual bondage. Okay, the spirits know what's happening, right? You remember when Jesus would drive out and they encountered Jesus. We know who you are. You're the Holy One of God, right? And they cried out, you know, as he drove them away. Okay, spirits of darkness flee and they drive out because the kingdom of God is present with power and nothing unclean can stand in the presence of it. Okay, Philip isn't doing miracles to gain a following or to, like, you know, steal some thunder from Simon, or he's not trying to convince anybody he's somebody great, right? A gospel preacher knows he himself is nobody great. He would be nobody at all unless God had had mercy on him. Okay, the preacher is a sinner in need of redemption just like anybody else, but I just came to tell you God does redeem. He is redeeming. Redemption has come to you. And these Samaritans saw their neighbors saved from evil spirits. They've gotten a taste of the kingdom of God in their midst, right? This kingdom of life and renewal and righteousness like nothing they have ever seen. And the thing about it is it's clean. It's holy, right? It's mercy from God. It's blessing. It's new life. Do you have new life, my friends? Do you know the blessing of the presence of the Holy Spirit, right? It's not like the spirits of confusion and the spirits of enticement and temptation and self-indulgence and self-worship that fill the earth. It's new life, right? Malachi has a verse that says, you will go forth and leap for joy like calves released from the stall, right? It's that kind of good news. It is that kind of change. I'm free. I'm new. I belong to God, right? He loves me. He sought me. He saved me. He took my sin away. He opened my eyes. He turned on the light. I know the truth, right? In the darkness of my soul, he said, let there be light, and there was light. And what happens next, friends, is so, so important. It's important to you. Christians, it's really important for you that the Samaritans left their darkness behind. Right? If God has shown the light of the salvation of his son into your life, right? The word has come to you. The kingdom of God is at hand. God has declared an amnesty. Enter while you can. Repent, receive a pardon, right? And if you have entered, you repented, you received a pardon, you've entered, God has brought you out of darkness, then leave the darkness behind, right? Men and women were baptized into the name of Christ, meaning they publicly declared their identification with Christ, their acceptance of his gospel, his new life, a brand new direction in life, the end of that mistaken way of living and thinking, right? The end of listening to these people who claim to know something, claim to be somebody with their techniques and their methods and their pills and their mystical symbols and their theories and so on. Okay, Paul says you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds, right? Who have their understanding darkened, who are strangers to the life of God because of the ignorance in them, because of the blindness of their hearts. Christians, who are you listening to? Who are you paying heed to? Whose example are you imitating? Whose advice are you living your life by? What doctors, counselors, speakers, entertainers, media, your friends, whose advice? Are those ignorant people who don't even know God, but they claim to have wisdom, they claim to be somebody, they claim to know something, but in fact, they're really just making their best guess because they themselves live in darkness, right? Isn't that the spiritually blind leading the spiritually blind? Okay? The whole world is under the sway of the evil one, and it's through human influencers like those that the spirits of darkness exert their power over the human race. Leave the darkness behind and live your life in the bright light of Jesus Christ. Okay, Paul says, walk as children of light. Once you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Okay, men and women no longer were astonished by Simon's sorcery. That was the end of that. Even of Simon itself, it says that he formerly practiced sorcery. Right, formerly. That was the end. Right, and there are things about you and me that should be formerly. Right, I formerly paid heed to lying spirits. I formerly was fascinated by famous people and their opinions. I formerly tried these spiritual tricks and techniques, but now God has given me his Holy Spirit, and I am not buying into that stuff anymore. I formerly let myself be shaped and led by those who I thought were so smart and talented and attractive, but now I have God's wisdom and I'm getting wiser every day because he is the truth. He is what's real. He is the beginning and the end and the first and the last, and I see through all your human delusions. I couldn't before, now I can. Now I'm just going to leave it to you, brothers and sisters, to think about what specific influences, and it's different for each person, but what specific influences have shaped your way of thinking and living over the course of your life as you grew up and lived in this world and looked up to certain people? Who have you listened to? Right? Many of those people were and are unholy. They're darkness. But Christ has come, full of grace and truth. We're to receive him, believe him, be cleansed by his blood, be reconciled to God, and then you really will be astonished, I think, how your life will change forever. Okay, I'm going to leave you with that. I hope you will do some thinking about that and realize that the reason God sent you his word is so that you can live by it and guide your life by it and escape the pitfalls of the devil into which so many people fall. Don't fall. Right? Scripture says he is able to keep you from falling, but be diligent to build yourself up in your most holy faith and keep yourselves in the love of God. Well, let's pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your love for us. As always, Lord, you are constant and good. You're persistently good, Lord, even though we are often fools. We repent, Lord, and ask you to give us yet another fresh start, Lord Jesus Christ. We pray for your spirit to fill our hearts, change our minds, light the pathway before us. Lord, may we steer our steps by your word and your word alone, and stop being taken in by the lies and deceptions and the tricks and the illusions that the world sets before us. Cause us, Lord, to be people who belong to the kingdom of God and not to this present age, Lord, to lay hold of the eternal life to which you have called us. Blessed be your name, Lord God. Blessed be your people as well, Lord. Fill us with your spirit and send us out of here, Father, changed for having heard your word. We love you. We love each other. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.